Today's Journey to Wellness in Indian Country is made possible by the University of Minnesota Medical School Duluth Campus, serving the needs of rural Minnesota and Native American communities. Our guest this morning is Minnesota Representative Mary Kunesh Podien. She is the Assistant Majority Leader, and she represents Minnesota District 41B. So glad to have you on the line with us this morning, Representative. Thanks so much, Mary, for being our guest.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
So I guess I was curious to get your take on the recent election results, state and national, and your sense as you talk to people in Indian Country about how they feel about the election results.
Well, of course, it's a mixed bag of reactions, depending which party you affiliate with. But here in Minnesota, I can tell you the good news is we have another Native American state representative. Heather Keeler over, I think it's District 2 in Moorhead, was elected to the House of Representatives. And as I am making my move from the House to the Senate, I was just elected as a senator, it's comforting to me to know that we'll have at least two Native American, both women, in the House. And then I myself am the first woman of Native descent to be in the Senate. So I'm really heartened by that, as well as the number of folks that ran for office across the state, Native folks, you know, at school board level, city council level, all of those sort of different levels were represented by Native American candidates. And that tells me that we're moving along and looking for more ways to get involved in leadership across Minnesota. Nationally, of course, we had, again, record number of Indigenous folks elected to offices from, again, just that real grassroots level all the way up through the federal government. And that means that we will have better representation. Our voices will be heard on issues that are really, really important to us and our lands and our future. And so that in itself really gives me hope for the future and for the next seven generations, for sure.
Mary, I watched my social media feed the week before, blow up with Native friends first annoyed, upset with being lumped together in the polls as something else. You know, they were saying, okay, you know, there's this many white voters and this many voters, you know, of color, whatever, and then something else to kind of lump in the Indigenous vote. And then, of course, they started to come up with, of course, clever memes, and that was wonderful. But there was definitely push. I mean, I would just my little slice of whatever. There was a lot of pushback about that. Talk about that a little bit. It sounded, I guess, to me like people were saying, no, you don't get to just disregard us this way.
Yeah. I have to say that's sort of been the afterthought that I think our Native communities have always sort of been an afterthought, or we'll deal with you, you know, however it makes sense to us. And so when that came out, you can imagine just how offended our people were to be called something else. And that just sounds like so dismissive, and not even, you know, we're not even going to drill down on the numbers because it doesn't even matter. And that is really kind of been the historical attitude towards our Native American communities. There's never been a strong focus on making sure that they have the resources they need to thrive. It's more been like, you know, we'll give you whatever's left over at the end, and we'll see what we can do. But it's really important to know that that attitude really has to change. And if you look at the voting results, especially down in the Southwest, what a strong influence the Native vote had on electing Biden our president. And I think that it's, you know, and if you look at the voting record this time around and the concerted effort to get out the Native vote that was so successful with some of our tribes voting for the first time at like 98%, which is historic in itself. We're not something else. We've been here forever. We will be here forever. And we definitely want to be identified as such and have that voice of our people and not continually be invisibilized. We've kind of been this invisible population here in Minnesota and in many places around the country. And we're starting to take back that the right to be heard and to be counted. And so this was really rather offensive.
Do you feel as though, I mean, I can see a pollster saying it was such a small percentage of the population and, you know, I can sort of hear the excuses in my head. Do you think that it would be reasonable for Native Americans to say, no, you kind of need to treat us differently and with a little additional respect? And there's a lot of reasons for that.
Right. And it's not so much you need to treat us differently. You just need to recognize that we are here and we are we are sovereign nations. We're not something else. We are sovereign nations. We hold treaties with the United States government. We have the right to confer with the governor, with the president around issues that are important to us. So we're not just something to dismiss. Because you've been able to overpower us for so many years, you know, centuries. And so it's time to recognize that sovereignty and allow our leaders to lead along with everybody else and not be so dismissed. I remember once I was at a conference in Chicago and around education, and they were giving us the numbers for the scores in Chicago, and they were talking about our African American and our white, and I asked, where are the Native Americans? And the woman kind of looked at me quizzically, and she's like, well, there's not enough to put on here. I'm like, but you have Native American students. You have students that you can count. Why aren't they included in here? And she looked at me, and she said, I never thought about that. And so, again, always forgetting about us or thinking that it's not important to include those statistics. Because when you see how abysmal those statistics are, that means that you have to do something about it. And without those facts and those statistics and data to refer to, nobody has to do anything because they don't know. And I think that's a big part of the problem in Indian country is the general population just doesn't know enough about our Native communities and our struggles. And when they don't have to do anything about it.
Mary, I want to ask you one final question. I've been extraordinarily disturbed to learn through a variety of different interviews on a variety of different topics on this program about the different ugly forms that racism takes in our communities. And of course, systemic racism is something that communities are trying to grapple with. But I guess I'm thinking about direct and ugly confrontations. I'm thinking about groups of people that I had heard about, that I had heard described on the show at some of the Line 3 hearings, where people had shown up deliberately trying to intimidate Native people and make them feel unwelcome from attending hearings, and some real one-on-one ugliness of racism. And with that in mind, it seems to me to take an extraordinary act of courage to say, I'm going to run for office and I'm going to compete at your game, with your rules, on your playing field, and I realize that I'm opening myself up to some real ugliness, maybe even a threat against my personal safety. Can you talk about the courage that it must take to run for a public office as a Native person in Minnesota?
Well, anytime the mass population overpowers another, it's really a hard struggle to come up. And our Native communities have dug themselves out of the pit time and time again, through health issues, lack of education, lack of autonomy, as we just spoke about. It does take courage to stand up and speak because, again, because our treaties and because recognizing the sovereignty of our nation has never really been the practice in Minnesota. It's changed over the last 10 years, yes. But I think it's because of the financial and the population growth in our communities. And I've always been brought up to be proud of my Native heritage. It's always been something that we, you know, really highlighted as a value and something to be proud of. But that's not always been the same for most people in Native folks in Minnesota. And when I talk to other Native people about running for office and getting in there, and they are like, oh, no, they won't listen to us. They just laugh at us. They dismiss us. Or when a Native does run and they lose abysmally, you know, there's a lot of ridicule. But I think that when somebody such as myself, Susan Allen, who was the first Native who ran and won in the House, Jamie Becker Finn, of course, we have our lieutenant governor. I think that, and people have told us that now that we see that you have done that, we see that we can also do that. And people are listening to us and people are following us. And one thing I've done in the legislature, and I think all of the Native folks that have served, is educating our legislature around the struggles of our Native communities. I passed the task force to create the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Task Force, and none of the legislators knew anything about that or knew of the historic trauma that our communities had been going through. When I passed the equity bill for our 4 BIE schools so that they at least are on equal funding as all the other kids in Minnesota, nobody knew that that was even a thing. They didn't even know what a BIE school was. And so as we're educating people, as we're telling them that these are the things that are happening, I'm heartened to know that our legislators are listening and taking note of it. There are some that will say, no, we don't need to give them any more money. We're already giving them money, or they get to fish and we don't get to fish, whatever the case may be. But it's really an educational process. And I think that as more of this is coming out into the public and the general public is understanding the imbalance of power and equity within our state, that more and more of our Native folks will see, yeah, I can do this. I have a voice. I want to be able to stand up and work for all of our communities, not just our Native communities, but, you know, everybody in our community, because that is the Native way. We take care of everybody and make sure everybody has the needs that has the things that they need to survive and thrive.
Well, and let us hope that, of course, new generations come along. And I love Maya Angelou's expression, when you know better, you do better. And new generations mm-hmm. come along and we hope have better ideas about how to treat one another and more of a sense that, yes, we try to be equitable or we endeavor to be equitable, and it's a no-brainer, and that's not something that we need to debate. How do we make that happen going forward? So, of course, next generations are always the hope that they can correct the mistakes that we made. Mary.
Yeah, and, you know, we all know that, when there are pockets of populations that are really struggling, when we boost them, when they get the resources that they need, they are going to give back into our community as well. And it's just such a mutual benefit. I sometimes am confused or surprised that folks will resist something like that. That's a beautiful quote by Maya Angelou for sure.
Mary, thank you so very much for joining us this morning. What a treat to talk with you. Thanks again.
Oh, thank you for inviting me up there today. I wish I could be up there in person, but just take care, everybody. Oh, it's starting to snow down here in the Twin Cities now, too. So,
yee! It's a great day. It's a great day for a Zoom meeting, Mary.
It is.
Thanks
it is.
Again.
All right, you take care.
Representative Mary Kunesh Podein is the Assistant Majority Leader in the Minnesota House of Representatives. She's been just been elected to the Senate, and she will be the first Native woman to serve in the Minnesota Senate. Our guest this morning here on Journey to Wellness in Indian Country. This program is made possible by the University of Minnesota Medical School Duluth campus, serving the needs of rural Minnesota and Native American communities.